Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Purple. Yes, the Purple mattress. You're going to love Purple. And right now, you guys, our listeners, get a free Purple pillow with your purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text GHOST, G-H-O-S-T, to 84888. The only way to get this free pillow is to text GHOST to 84888. That's GHOST to 84888. Message and data rates may apply. It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019, at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a father's voice reaches out to a child from the grave. What message does a deceased grandfather have for his grandchildren? And something is out to terrify at 2 a.m.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. Our phone number is 855-853-4802. Write in your real ghost story at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like this show and you want more episodes, our EPP bonus episodes, we put them out every single week, and they are jam-packed with our best stories. You get those at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month to be an extra podcast person in EPP. You get all those bonus episodes, more than 250 some of those, new ones every week, like I said, and you get advanced access to our episodes weeks before they are released publicly. So go ahead, binge away there, everything there at ghostpodcast.com, or you can become an EPP through Patreon as well at patreon.com/realghoststories. patreon.com/realghoststories to get those extras there. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm lovely. I decided that it was time to part with an object of mine that I've had for quite some time.
How long have you had that?
I've had my facial hair, my beard, since I was about 7.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Started really early. It was really weird. Second grade was difficult. Was. They're like, are you the substitute teacher today? They thought I was a little person. It's like, no, I'm actually a student. My couch. I had this couch that I got when I was 18. Mm-hmm. It was my first furniture purchase.
Okay.
As an adult.
So you've had it half your life.
I have had it more than half my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember going and getting it and then being criticized by my parents because you spent too much money on that. And I've had it ever since.
How much was that couch?
$800.
That's not bad for a leather couch.
No, I'd always wanted a leather couch. Uh-huh. And I saved up all my money. I didn't borrow it from anybody. Didn't go on a credit card. Didn't do any. It was saved,
my money working.
Mm-hmm.
I had it.
Mm-hmm.
I could spend it. I've always been very much that way. So it's lasted 19 years, yeah. 18 years, right around there. And it's still in good shape. I mean, if I weren't trying to clear out a room, I'd probably still keep it.
Sure.
But I'm trying to make some room in that room over there. I thought it's time. It's seen a lot of things over the years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cat love.
Cat love.
It sounds horrible.
It does.
I used to have a cat. I don't anymore. I'm legally not allowed to.
Oh, God.
No, I have allergies. And there's some restraining order. But no, the cat. The story on the couch is I got the couch when I was 18. I thought it was great. It was wonderful. Moved to my next apartment. Couldn't fit it in the damn door.
Oh.
Couldn't get it into the apartment physically through.
Even taking the feet off.
Even taking the feet off. So the couch then went to go live in my parents' basement for a couple years because mm-hmm. I didn't want to get rid of it. I just bought it.
Yeah.
One of the cat, their cat, like lived on it for years, got it back for my next apartment. And then my cat at that time found it would make a lovely litter box.
Oh. Yeah.
For a while. And would pee on it all the time.
Scruff did that?
Yes. Ugh. And I have to get it cleaned and everything. And then eventually, it got to the point where I literally was putting plastic wrapping around the couch. So it looked like an 89-year-old woman's couch. Oh. Except I think I used saran wrap. I didn't use like the furniture covers.
Oh no.
And I was trying to like stop it. Scruff would never stop doing it. Then I moved again for radio. My parents at that point, and then I realized I kind of had a cat allergy. And then they took Scruff and I kept the couch.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And it's been with me in every random room ever since.
Well, the good news is I would never have guessed it had such a dark past when I met you because it never smelled.
No.
And it was a very clean couch.
Yeah, I cleaned it. I mean,
it's the kids that have put stains on it that won't come out.
Yeah, the kids like to urinate on the couch all the time. No,
I think a spilt bottle got it once. And,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's all been cleaned up over the years. So it's time. So, in fact, during we were recording the last episode, oh, I think they even messaged me back. Someone wants to come by today. So.
Well, let's make sure we don't tell them to where they can hear the history of it.
Exactly. You don't want to know the shit that happened on this couch. I'll say that right as they pull up. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to our first story of the day, written in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And it starts out, hey, Tony and Jenny, I'm writing in from Michigan. Love the show. My story might fit into a Father's Day episode. Sorry we missed that. First, I need to explain that one of these experiences I know was my dad and the other. Well, I just feel that it was. They both involved my job. A little bit of information about my dad. He was a hardworking and had a very solid work ethic. You don't call in and by all means, you don't show up late. My dad passed away in September of 2011 after being sick for 7 months. It was an awful time, as you can imagine. Before he passed, the place I'd worked for 15 years was moving to the other side of the state. I know he was worried because I had been unable to find a job in the field I was trained in, and I think this was on his mind. Even with everything he was going through with his health, he was worried about me. I was unable to find a job until late spring of 2012. The night before my first day, I was having a hard time falling asleep. Just the anxiety of starting a new job, I suppose. Finally, I fall asleep and I was awakened by a voice saying, Kathy, Kathy, you're going to be late for work. Get up. You're going to be late for work. Of course, at first, my not quite conscious brain was thinking, am I dreaming? But after the first few words, becoming more aware, I realized this was my dad's voice. I open my eyes. It's daylight. No, no. I look at the clock and it was flashing. I'd lost power in the night and didn't have a battery in it to save the time and alarm setting. 30 minutes past the time I had set the alarm to go off. I fly out of bed, get dressed for work and head out, making it to work on time. I feel this was him assuring that I didn't show up late especially for my first day. The second experience happened in 2014. I was off work after having had surgery in both my hands. While I was off, my boss had called me and asked if I wanted to buy the business. A few years before, I had mentioned if she ever wanted to sell it, I was interested. It was a huge decision to make, and what was once quite a successful business was now a sinking ship, and she was in a hurry to sell because she and her husband wanted to retire and move to Florida. I was doing a lot of thinking and calculating. Could I make it work? Is this something I still wanted? Could I do it financially? Could I make it a successful business again? A few days later, I went for a drive and found myself at a cemetery at my parents' gravesite. I asked if they thought I could do it or not, and I asked that they give me a sign, something to let me know if they approve or if they think I'm capable of running a business. All the things one might ask a parent for reassurance. That night around 3 a.m., I woke to a loud boom, a knocking, a bam, 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 becoming more and more loud. Bam, 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 and then again, very much awake, and knowing this isn't outside and it isn't a door to my house. The knocking continued, and it stopped. I was lying there awake, confused, and a bit unnerved. Eventually, I fell back asleep. It wasn't until I got up that morning and was thinking about it, trying to figure out what it was that I believe it may have been that sign from my mom and dad that I was asking for. So with that, I bought it, and it's again a thriving small business. I'm interested to hear what you all think of these experiences. Thank you for reading this and for having a place for me to tell my story. I have a few more that I'll send in when I can. Thank you.
I wonder, did she ever figure out what the noise was, and did that have any meaning as far as how the noise was made or anything? Or was it just
bam, 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 but coming from the inside?
Okay.
So like if you were to hang it in the wall over there.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that it's going well.
I think it might have been the sign that she was looking for, mm-hmm. considering it never happened again. And it wasn't like, oh, that's the house settling.
You know?
And it was very timely. Okay, back to the ghost stories in just a second. First, I need to thank a supporter of our program today, Purple. Purple mattress is what I'm talking about, not the color purple. You will love this thing. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to tell you how amazing and different this thing is. But first, you got to kind of understand why it's so different, what it actually does for you. Did you spend the night last night tossing and turning? Are you sick of this? Yeah. Were you kind of like, oh, I'm not quite comfortable, stiff neck. Maybe you get too hot. Maybe you just, it's hard. It's hard to get a good night's sleep on a lot of mattresses. Well, if getting a good night's sleep is important to you, and it should be because it's kind of the fuel for the rest of your day, then you got to hear about this Purple mattress, okay? They've set the bar to a new high. It's not like the gazillion memory foam mattresses that are out there. This is something completely different, developed by rocket scientists. I know. I don't think I'd ever thought a couple years ago I'd ever say those words. The Purple mattress is going to feel different than anything you've ever experienced because it uses a brand new material that was developed, like I said, by rocket scientists, unlike anything else. Purple mattress feels very unique because it's firm and it's soft at the same time, keeps everything supported while making you still feel really comfortable. Plus, it's breathable and it sleeps cool. That means it keeps your body temperature good. Okay. You don't get super hot. Don't wake up hot and sweaty. It's just one of those things you go, I had no idea a mattress could do this for me. You get a 100-night risk-free trial. You have nothing to lose. If you're not fully satisfied, you return your mattress for a full refund. They cover the shipping. They cover the return cost, all that. It's also backed by a 10-year warranty. Okay. Free in-home setup and removal of the old mattress as well. So everything's covered for you. If you don't like it for whatever reason, I've never heard anybody not liking it, but just in case, you're covered. Okay. Doesn't get any easier than this. Try it for 100 nights, and trust me, you're going to be like, damn, I wish I would have done this sooner. You're going to love Purple. Right now, you guys can get a free Purple pillow with your purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide as well. Just text GHOST, G-H-O-S-T, to 84888. Pick up your phone right now. Only way to get the free pillow. Text GHOST to 84888. That's G-H-O-S-T to 84888. Get this awesome offer, and you're welcome. Message and data rates may apply. I had a weird dream last night, and my dreams tend to be just a cornucopia of everything that I've consumed, not food-wise, but just like mentally, mm-hmm. visually over the last handful of days. So I'm not looking for any meaning on this because I'm pretty damn sure there isn't. I was on a golf course. And then I, for some reason, I had to leave And it was like the eighth hole or the seventh hole I was on. And I knew when I got to the ninth, it would be closer to the clubhouse. But there was a storm coming in, and I really needed to get to my car to leave. But there was another building, a big building by that seventh hole. So everybody went in there. And I thought, well, maybe I can get someone to like take me to my car in a golf cart or something. Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods was hanging out in there.
Okay.
But there's this giant storm coming in, and there's a lot of people wandering around the golf course. Mm-hmm. And then lightning strikes mm-hmm. on the golf course and strikes a bunch of people. And then you just hear screams and people running. And Tiger said he'd take me to my car once the storm was calmed down.
Okay. I don't know why Tiger was part of this.
Because it was a golf course.
But could
I don't know.
This have anything to do with the fact that we were just teaching the girls about the dangers of lightning?
Yes.
We watched a Rescue 911 about kids getting hit. And totally freaked Harper out.
It was 100% because we watched an old episode of Rescue 911 on YouTube the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know why Tiger was there.
It was a golf course. I mean, that was an easy correlation. I think it's just like, oh, he was. Why would he not be at the golf course just hanging out, ready to give me a ride in his golf cart back to my car?
That's completely what he would do.
Seems like something that would happen.
That's cool.
There you go. And it was a lightning bolt, just as corny as the one on Rescue 911.
That was pretty special.
It wasn't like real lightning, which obviously we all know what that looks like. It was like the, before we had good graphics, we literally drew on the film a white line to make it look like lightning.
Yeah.
And that's what it looked like. And I remember thinking in the dream, it's odd looking lightning.
She was okay with that episode. She was okay with the runaway boxcars that hit the old couple in the car.
Uh-huh.
But the one where the girl flies out of the truck because she's riding in the back of a truck,
mm-hmm.
that one, she's like, this is too much. I don't want this anymore.
I wonder why.
I don't know. That was like...
It's not like she rides in the back of the truck where it's like, oh, that's too real.
No, but I don't know. Maybe we just filled her up with cautionary tales that day.
We just kind of went from one Rescue 911 episode to the next. The thing is, this was like primetime television for us as kids.
Well, that's how we learned not to do a bunch of shit.
Every week, you'd get like four tales of like, don't do this shit, because this is how it could end. Now kids like see two of them. They're like, oh my God, stop the... Oh, she is six. But I do think a lot of kids, even older than that should be able to handle it. The ages we were watching it at.
Yeah.
I was watching it in first grade.
I was watching it then. I was watching it when I was young enough that I didn't understand my dad wasn't going to be on TV because my dad was a cop and I knew...
He thought I might be in Rescue 911.
I thought he was going to go save people. I was going to watch it on TV.
Oh. I guess maybe we just need to lock them in a room and just play episodes of Rescue 911 and tell them when they can come out.
No.
Did you get enough? Are you good? Are you afraid of everything? Great. It's our parenting style.
Sounds awful.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next letter says, my name's Sarah. When I was 15, my grandfather passed away in Florida. My grandparents had taken my mom and me in when my parents got divorced when I was little, and I was always close to both of them. I have memories of my grandfather sitting outside in his lawn chair feeding peanuts to squirrels out of his hand. He'd hold the peanuts out, and the squirrels would climb up in his lap and take them from him. He's also always feeding the stray cats and dogs in the neighborhood. He'd always seem to have this thing about the wildlife around his home. That was his happy place. So what happened years later isn't really that surprising to me. Squirrels and wild animals ate him alive. Now, what?
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say he died and animals ate him.
Thank you. What do you think, Tony and Jenny? No, I'm kidding. That's not... Continuing on. This was the first person in my life that I can remember that died, and it was really hard on me. I'm sorry. I'm laughing at a most inappropriate time.
Yeah, it's awful.
Okay. I'm not laughing at him dying. I'm laughing at the squirrel buildup. That's the thing. Squirrel buildup. Tension with the squirrel topic. I'd been at the hospital with him when he took his last breath, and we left. And when he left, I couldn't stand the thought of going back to his house with my mom and grandmother, so with my uncle to a hotel for the night. I'm lying there in bed, and I can't go to sleep because of everything that's weighing on my mind, so I'm tossing and turning. Another uncle made it into town a few hours after we'd been back to the hotel, and he comes up to the door, knocks on it. The uncle that I was staying with opens the door to let his brother into the room. At this time, I hear clear as everything. My grandfather tells me that he's okay. I immediately close my eyes and went to sleep. Fast forward a few months, I'm back in my home in Georgia. I had a dream one night that there was a knock on my window in my bedroom. So I go to the window to see my grandfather standing in the front yard. Never felt afraid. I was just so happy to see him again. I knew it was a dream, but it didn't seem like it. It felt very real. I raised the window to speak to him, and he told me, "I know you love the sound of the birds after the rain, so I'm going to make it rain so you can hear your birds." I remember thinking how strange this sounded because I'd never paid any attention to the birds or how they sounded after a rain. However, when I woke up the next morning, it was raining, and after the rain had stopped, I sat down in front of my window, raised the window, and just sat there and listened to the birds and how happy and cheerful they sounded. I know that ghosts can't make it rain. I think that he was coming back, first to remind me that he was okay, and second to tell me to remember to take time to listen to nature. I must always sit down after a good hard rain to listen to the birds and other animals now, and I always think of him and smile when I hear them. Thank you for taking the time to read my story, and thank you for being there for people like me to be able to express what I have been through. And thank you for being an asshole and joking about squirrels.
Yeah.
I'll add that in.
Well, I think he appreciated the love of nature. Obviously, yeah. That was pointed out in the beginning of the story. And, I obviously they can't make it rain, but it makes you wonder if they know ahead of time things. I mean, we know when it's going to rain, but we have access to radar. Do ghosts know when it's going to rain just because they know things are going to happen?
Something like that, I could see, like, you know, you can look out in the window, it's going to storm, it's going to rain, and this is a good, they're sitting there peacefully. It's a good time to make a visit. Maybe that's just kind of
sure.
The timing type of thing. It's a good, I've denigrated that story enough.
Yeah.
I should stop. I had another.
Let it go.
But it's right there.
It's sentimental to somebody.
It is sentimental. I'm not, and it's a good story.
And you're just going to make it all about squirrels.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
All right. I'll hold back.
Behave.
I'll hold back. Speaking of, that's a good Toto song. I won't hold you back.
We're not going to sing.
When I wanted to say an inappropriate thing. Do, do, do. Jenny told me to shut up and stop talking about squirrels. Want to join in?
No.
Is that the one where Michael McDonald's in it?
I don't know.
I can't think. No, it's not. 855-853-4. I finally got to the chorus in my head. I can't jump to like the chorus.
You have to play the whole song?
I have to like fast forward in my head. I'm analog.
Everybody else is digital, just so you know.
I'm like an 8-track tape. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next, letter says, wanted to start by saying you guys have an amazing show. On to the story. I was about 8 years old. I was living in Colombia with my mom and other family members. One of them was my uncle. My mom and I shared a bedroom there. It was only 3 rooms and 6 of us, so we all had to share. So it was late at night, around 2 a.m. when I wake up. My mom is standing by the, standing in the room trying to look for something. When I call out to her, she immediately whispers, "Shh, do you hear that?" And me being the sleepy, confused 8-year-old whisper back, "What?" And that's when I hear it. The door to our bedroom was being shaken, like when someone tried to open it, but the door seems to stick. This continued for 3 to 5 minutes, and my mom getting fed up. She assumed it was my uncle, as he had a tendency to scare us for fun. So my mom assumed it was him. Gets her phone, calls my uncle, and I can hear the phone ring. We hear nothing as the shaking continues. I was instantly frightened, if it wasn't my mischievous uncle, who was the person on the other end of the door. I grab my mom's hand, and she just says, "It's all right. Mom will protect you." So we sat there in the darkness, hearing our door shake and somewhat being able to see, as there was a bit of light from the moon illuminating the otherwise dark room. The shaking suddenly stopped. We hear boots and heavy steps, then lights being turned on and off, but no light was seen underneath the door, which was pretty common as our door was around an inch off the ground. Then the shower was turned on, then the fridge was opened, and finally we hear what sounds like the room next to us being opened. And that's when my mom had enough. She turned on the lights in the room, grabbed a piece of wood that we had in our room, and she runs out of the bedroom with me right behind her. I was curious, but also shaking in fear. She starts turning on the lights around the house, and that's when I see, at the end of the hall, where the lights haven't been turned on yet, it was a black figure, darker than the shadows around it, but you could almost see through it. I could feel it staring at me, even though I couldn't see its eyes or the cavities where eyes should be. I was paralyzed from fear as I kept staring at it with an immense fear of blinking. For I thought if I closed my eyes for a second, it would be right there in front of me. But of course, me being human, I blinked and it was gone. My mom's still running around. She found nothing. When all the lights were on, nothing, as if we had imagined the whole thing. I've been able to see things since I was small. Shadows, mist, faces, clear as day in pitch darkness, or even out during the day. I can feel hands on my head touching my hair. It hasn't stopped. There's time when I hear voices, but I can't make out what they're saying. It's frightening to even me to this day. I'll leave you with a piece of advice. If you're alone and you hear your name being called and don't acknowledge it, do not turn on or respond, because bad things can happen.
I agree. I think that is a good piece of advice. And it makes you wonder, okay, so things went haywire and the doors shake and the lights go on and off this one time. Why this one time and not anymore? You know?
I don't know.
That's what I don't get. It's when they do something just like one time and then they're done. And it's kind of a good thing, but it's just like puzzling.
It's just a passing through ghost?
Yeah.
Checking out the house, taking a shower, making a bologna sandwich with pimento cheese spread, and then leaving.
Okay.
You do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. B-O-L-O-G-N-A. Okay. I like bologna. I'm not calling the story bologna. I'm just saying I like bologna.
Uh-huh. That's nice.
I haven't had bologna in, I think, since like third grade.
Okay.
Do you like bologna?
No, I don't.
You ever had bologna?
Yes, I don't like it.
You like Spam.
No, I don't. I like Spam when it's fried.
Yes. Well, you like Spam then. You like Spam in a way it's prepared.
No, the way you say it is like you like Spam. Like I could open a can and just woof it down.
I don't think anybody does that, do they?
Yeah.
Really?
Most people.
I did it on a TV show once, but that was gross.
And then you spat it out.
Yeah, it was like eating cat food. But when I've tried it cooked. You've cooked it.
I cook it. I fry it with a little syrup and it's really good. But I don't make a habit out of eating it.
What about bologna?
I've never fried bologna.
I've never fried bologna either.
I might like fried bologna, but I don't like just bologna.
I had it raw with Miracle Whip on white bread.
That's just...
For years and years in lunch.
That's before they realized all those things are bad.
You want to have your children turn out like me, give them bologna sandwiches just like that for lunch every day.
There should be a disclaimer.
I crave that sometimes.
Really?
In the middle of the night, I'm like, bologna, bologna.
Okay.
And I'll whisper it. I'll just wake up and like give it a sweat and I'll be like, bologna!
Okay.
It's weird. Maybe it's all the nitrates. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi, my name is Anna. I live in Georgia. I just have some crazy stuff that's happened to me. First of all, it's one specific story kind of connects. My great grandmother passed away when I was 5 years old. She was a very sweet, very loving woman. She loved everyone in her family, did everything she could. About 7 or 8 years later, we went back. Me and my dad actually went back to my childhood house, kind of walked through and, you know, just reminisced a little bit, looking through the backyard and, you know, memories just flashing back all the way everywhere. And we walked into my back bedroom, my old bedroom, and it was extremely cold in this room, which is crazy because we went to this house in the middle of July. It's Georgia. It's hot. Summer heat is ridiculous. But this room had to be like 60 degrees. There's no power to this house. The air conditioner's not turned on or anything. And I kind of just got a weird feeling of the energy in there, you know, like something was wrong. And my dad left the room because he felt uneasy is what he said. And I just kind of sat on the floor and, you know, remembered my old bedroom where my furniture was, you know, And I got up and opened my closet doors, and I saw my great-grandmother sitting in the closet, or standing in the closet, I guess. And I just kind of looked at her, and she just had this look on her face that just didn't look, just not how I remembered her. She almost looked upset or disappointed or mad, and I was just shocked. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't blink. I couldn't move. I just stood there and stared, and I could hear my dad coming back, and she vanished, and it's almost like she walked through me. It's like her face was coming closer to mine, and she walked through me, and I fainted, is what my dad said. I fainted, and it's insane because, I mean, I was only 12 years old when this happened, and I told him, I was like, I saw Nana, I saw her, and he's like, you're being ridiculous, you're lying, we're leaving, this is insane, we're not doing this right now. So we never went back to that house. And to this day, just her face is just stuck, the way that she was looking. It's not like she was looking at me, it's like she was looking through me. So a few years later, that happened when I was 12. This story is when I was 19. Pretty much the same thing happened. Different house. I actually had my dog in the room with me. He's actually a trained guard dog. My dad was asleep in his room, and I was getting ready to go to bed. And I turned off my lights, got ready. My dog laid up, sit in my bed, got in bed, tried to go to sleep. 2 minutes later, I hear my dog. My dog's just barking. Like, he's a trained guard dog. He only barks when he knows that something's wrong. So I turn my lamp on, and my Nana is sitting at my desk in my room holding a pen. And it's just, I was shocked. I snapped out of it. I told my dog, calm down. And I started, as soon as I turned in her direction, she vanished. Same thing happened. I fainted. And it was just, it's insane to me because I don't faint. I've never, ever fainted besides those two times in my life. And the dog started barking again, and my dad came running in the room, and I told him again, I saw Nana. I saw her. She was sitting right there. He insists that I am making this up and that I am lying about it. These are not dreams that I'm having. He refuses to believe anything. he refuses to talk about it. I've had some other experiences that don't involve my Nana. Hopefully you guys will air this. If not, no worries. Just kind of wondering, if you had any opinions or thoughts about it, or maybe some advice. Really love you guys' show. I actually just discovered it. I've been listening to it all day at work. Thanks for everything you do. Thanks. Bye.
I think quite often people are like, I don't believe it. I don't want to talk about it. And they're just shut down on it. I think that kind of means they kind of do believe it. They just don't want to have to like deal with the facts that come along with believing in this stuff.
It scares them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's either just to shut it down, easier just to shut it down and not deal with it than deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, folks like that, there's not a whole lot you can do until they're ready to actually talk about it.
No, but I'm not surprised though that she faints. The sensory overload of having a paranormal experience can make some people do that.
Sure.
So that in itself is, proof right there that something different happened.
Yeah, I think on that, you just kind of got to rest assured that you don't necessarily need another person to validate your experience to make it real.
Yeah.
It obviously was very, very real to you to begin with. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, Tony? Hey, this is Dave Vaughn. I live out in Virginia Beach. I got a crazy story to tell you. This is actually something happened to me when I was about, about 6 years old. We had this two-bedroom apartment. I think it was second or third floor. I'm not really familiar. I don't really remember. But anyway, I remember this because the living room and the kitchen was like right next to each other. This is back in the days. We used to have that box fan. Remember that box fan you put in the window So you'll get like a lot of air coming from the outside, so it can blow cool air inside the house. So, and then we had the two bedrooms, but my mom's bedroom, mom and dad's bedroom, which is like right next to me and my sister's bedroom. And we had bunk beds, better in the bed. And, my mom, at the time their furniture wasn't in their room yet. My mom was staying there and sleeping in the room with my sister. She left me and my father was laying on the floor with me at nighttime, right between the line of the kitchen and the living room. And I said this is back in the days. It's probably like, I don't know, about 86, so about 5, so about 86. But anyway, we were sleeping, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had seen something coming from that where the box stand was at. It was like a little glow. And I couldn't really, you know how you like kind of sleep, but you're not, you know. So I'm like, oh, I'm not still sleeping right now. And I'm looking at this, and I can see something like it's coming closer. The light is like still, like the light blue glow is like coming closer to me. And it just keeps coming closer. And then you can see something like in the light, like kind of going like at this time I'm kind of getting up a little high, getting up like my body, I'm like lifting myself up a little more so I can look and see like, what is that? And then I see like a silhouette of like a figure of a person. No names, no nothing, just that light that goes probably to the waist area, and I can see like the light of an arm reaching right towards me. And I'm kind of like, you know, trying to get my vision right, like am I tripping? And then right, it's about to grab me, and I just start screaming. And then my mom runs in. My father wakes up. My mom wants to see the light. And it's gone. My mom's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I'm like, Let me go. And I'm crying, you know, hysterical. My mother don't believe me. She never believed me and stuff like that. My mother's a little church mom. She used to always do like, put like, I'll be going to sleep and she'll do like some oils to put that cross on my head and stuff like that. But yeah, that's what happened when I was younger. That's one that happened when I was younger. I'll give you one more. I'll make it quick for you. Well, another one happened. I think I was about like 11 years old. I had a best friend named Chris. Me and Chris, we had a two-floor apartment. All right. Well, ours was on the second floor, but you go down, you know, the other steps going up and then the second floor. But anyway, so we were about to watch the scary. We were always in the scary movies. So we had the VHS tape on top of the coffee table. And then people used to ring the bell and run. So we're up there, and somebody rung the bell. So we run downstairs and check the looking people. So why they there? I'm like, okay. Go back upstairs, and that's why I ring the bell again. So we run back downstairs, and I check people. He's like, okay. And Grayson's like, okay, we'll catch him. We'll get him. So this time we creep down the steps so they don't see it. I hear us walking down the steps all heavy or not. And then ring the bell, ding dong, and we look through the people. And then we hear a ding dong, but we don't see nobody. And people, what the heck? Ding dong. So we open up the door, and we see the doggone doorbell getting pushed in. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. So we just ran upstairs. And the crazy thing, we run upstairs, and the VHS tape that we had on top of the coffee table falls right on the top of the desk. And it drops far right there. Like it was up in the air, and it dropped. Boom. But we didn't see it up in the air. We just seen it hit drop. Boom. So we start screaming. We run to the back to go through the back door to go like out the back door towards like going out to the backyard. So I used to have a skateboard hanging up, like tied up and stuff on it, like on a out and go through the back door. I tied up like on a wall. As soon as we get over there to the back door, that skateboard just drops to the ground. Boom! Right now, as soon as we open the door, it just dropped. Boom! And we seen it like it was floating and dropped. Boom! So we went out the backyard. Run out through the back door and out to the backyard, and I'm just hysterical. Chris was like into a Catholic school, so I was over here yelling at him, oh, bless me, bless me, please, bless me. You know what I'm saying? He's doing the whole, you know, drinking the water from the hole. So I bless him under the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and stuff like that. But, yeah, so that was crazy. So that's one of the two experiences that I'm telling you about now, but I had maybe two more after that. One with my son that freaked me out, but I'll tell you that one later on. I hope you enjoy these little short stories. My name is Dave Vaughn, and I enjoy listening to your podcast, man. I just got all into it, man. I'm going to continue listening to it, man. And yeah, I keep doing what y'all are doing. I'm loving it. All right? Take care.
I got to know if they watched the movie after that happened.
Wouldn't you?
No, I think that'd be more than enough paranormal scary shit for me for a long time.
One night, you just be like, all right, I'm good.
I'd be more than good.
I want to see... I do want to see. I never saw the original.
Annabelle?
I did see the original. I'm trying to think. What did I see? I did see it. Did I?
I don't know. I didn't see it with you.
I think I did see it, and it was like, okay. Mm-hmm. I really wasn't super impressed. My standards were so high with The Conjuring because they did that so well. Mm-hmm. And I think I did see Annabelle. I watched it, and it was like, okay. It wasn't as good as I was expecting.
Yeah.
I still have yet to see The Conjuring 2.
Okay.
But we'll do that some date night.
Yeah. You and the mouse in your pocket, not me.
The mouse in my pocket.
Yeah.
You just have to diss on the mouse in my pocket. I mean.
I'm not going to do that.
No. There's the new one that's coming out that's about Annabelle 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm interested to hear more about that. I'm wondering what the story is or how. I think from what I understand, it's fairly Hollywoodized.
As opposed to the other one.
Well, the other Conjuring was based pretty much on the story. I mean, there were some parts, but it's like it's gotten further and further away from what the original stories were, mm-hmm. which is kind of disappointing to me because I was hoping like to kind of, they were doing so good with just like keeping it based on the real, you know, actual stuff, which is freaky enough. And then the further that they kind of cast that line out there, the more it's like, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I like the real stuff. I think the real stuff is freaky enough as it is. But they got to make money. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, become an EPP, an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com. It's $5 a month. Get access to all the bonus material, advanced episodes, and more. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.